Tonight I want to talk about joy. I want to talk about the joy of being a Christian. You know, we like to look back over our lives and think about the things that have made us happy, don't we? We enjoy going back down memory lane and thinking about things. Maybe we may go back and think about our graduation day from high school. And that was a happy time for all. Getting our diploma, maybe going into college and working our 4 years in college and getting our degree in college. We'd like to think about that first job that we had. We'd like to think about that first paycheck that we brought home. And, of course, we've been doing that ever since as working people, haven't we? We like to think about our abilities to do these things and our accomplishments that we have made that has brought us to this point in time. We like to think about maybe that special someone that we found, that we have been privileged to spend our lives with. And we also enjoy thinking about bringing our children into the world, the happy times that they have given us throughout life. All of these occasions bring us joy and make us feel good about life, and it brings us pleasure to remember these things. I wonder how many times we have ever stopped and thought about the day that we became a Christian. The day that we surrendered our heart, soul, and mind to Jesus Christ. You know, I remember that day very well. I can even tell you the day and time. It was on a Wednesday evening, on March the 14th, 1973. That was the night that I was baptized into Christ. 48 years now I have been a child of God. And every day from that day in 1973, my life has begun better and better because of what Christ has done for me. And you know, having been a Christian for almost 5 decades now, it occurs to me how important that day was in my life and what a great day it was when I gave my life to the Lord. It was an important thing for me then. But I have to tell you, my friends, it's a far more important thing to me now. Because as my life has grown in Christ, I see all the wonderful things that He has done for me throughout the years. Things that I could not have done for myself. Things that no one else could have done for me. Blessings that I have received because of my relationship with my Lord. And that, my friend, brings me joy. You know, I have found out throughout my life that Christianity has made it much easier in my life in certain ways. It has made it easier for me to stay away from the many vices of worldly living that all of my friends participated in, and people that I knew and things that I was expected to go along with. Christianity helped me stay away from these things. It was my Christian friends who introduced me to this wonderful young lady that is now my wife. And I will never, ever be able to repay them for the joy that they have given me in bringing her to me. When I began working in the public works field in the company of Motorola, which was a place that I called the den of iniquity, and it was the den of iniquity, it was my Christianity and my Christian friends that helped me cope with the things that went on there that wasn't always right. So, you know, I can honestly say Christianity throughout my life has brought me joy. It has brought me pleasure because it has made my life so much better. And so today what I want to do for just the next few minutes is talk about the joy that can be found from being a Christian. The things that can happen to you to make your life worthwhile, to make your life better, to put you in a better position with you and your God. And Christianity will do that, my friends, and it will bring you a joyous life. The first thing I want to suggest to you is that we can have, as Christians, the joy of forgiveness. Now, you know, if you can think back maybe to your childhood years, and as children, we all made our mistakes, and as adults, we still make our mistakes, don't we? But as children, when we would mess up and we would be punished by our parents, we would always say, "I'm sorry, forgive me." And when they would echo those words back to you, "I forgive you," there was an element of peace that you have never experienced before because you have been forgiven. They're not going to hold this against you any longer. It's not going to be held over your head tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. We've been forgiven. My friends, God gives us this very same forgiveness. When we give our lives to Him, yes, we will continue to sin. We're going to make mistakes. But if we will go to the Father and ask for His forgiveness, He will forgive. And the very moment that we give our lives to Him as Christians, God forgives everything that has happened in our life before. It is not held over our heads. He does not remember it tomorrow, next month, next year, or forever. He forgives and He forgets our sins. You know, as a Christian, we don't mean to sin. We didn't intend to sin. We are not, we don't plan to sin because we have given our lives to the Lord and that part of our lives is gone. But the fact of the matter is, we still sin. But as Christians, we do not live under the dominion of sin. We will make our mistakes. We will commit our sins, perhaps maybe because of impetuation, maybe because of neglect, maybe because of a moment of passion. It will cause us to make a mistake in our lives and commit a sin. But we don't plan it. We don't live for it. We don't thrive to put sin into our lives day in and day out like we may have once done before we put Christ into our lives. You know, John tells us that these sins as Christians can be forgiven. He tells us this in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now in chapter 2, John goes on to tell us exactly how this works. He said, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with us, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There is someone who is ready to forgive us. There is someone who is ready to put our sins behind if we will ask Him to, and we can go on with our lives without sin in it. And it's a wonderful thing for me to know that I have that advocate. And it should be a wonderful thing for you to know that Jesus Christ stands ready to forgive you, to wash you in His blood over and over again if only you will ask. We have the forgiveness of sin. And that, my friend, should bring us joy. Another thing that we have is the joy of a reliable guidance. You know, sometimes we get confused about what we're going to do in life. Sometimes we can't make up our mind which direction to go, who to follow, what to do in life. And this can be very uncomfortable. You know, we look around the world today and it looks like ants scurrying in every different direction, morally and spiritually. And they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go next. And they just scamper around. And most of these people, they have no plan. They have no direction in which to go. They have no one to follow. So they wander about without a reliable guide. You know, Paul addresses these people in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. He said, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, and you do so more and more. In other words, as Christians, we have a direction. We know what direction to go in. Now, do we veer off? Yes, we do. But we always know the direction to go. We always know that Jesus is the one that we should follow. You know, in one way, this is the purpose of the New Testament, to tell us how to live and how to act as children of God, that we need to walk and to please God. But if I am left to myself, I'm going to go astray. If I live and go in the direction I want to go in, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to be inconsistent with my life. And it can't be a joyous thing when you don't know where you are. And worse, not even knowing where you are going. But if we will devote ourselves to the plan that God has given to us, if we will follow it, we won't be confused, and we won't be uncertain. The older I become, the more certain I am that the answers to the questions of life that I have is found in the pages of inspiration. It is found from God's Word. And that, my friends, gives me joy. We also can have the joy of purpose. Have you ever had a day with no purpose. You talk about an empty day when you don't even have anything in front of you to see, no goals, nothing to work toward. You ever ask yourself the question, why am I here? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what am I doing? Are we here simply to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die? You'd be amazed how many people, you'd be amazed how many Christians have this attitude in life. And if you have this attitude, it won't be long before you will have a very unsatisfying life because you don't have purpose. You'll never have an accomplishment if you don't develop a purpose in life. I want to suggest to you tonight, my friends, that God's Word gives you purpose. The Apostle Peter tells us what that purpose is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Our purpose tonight should be to live according to the will of God. And you know, if the world would live according to the Word of God, we wouldn't have to worry about the problems that we have in this life. We wouldn't have to worry about going home and locking our doors and being afraid that someone is going to come in on us. We wouldn't have to worry about the neighboring country coming after us with guns, because we're all living according to the will of God. And that gives us peace. And it gives us purpose. And then, which goes hand in hand with this, it gives us the joy of security. You know, for most people, when this life is over, there is no happy anticipation. Most people in this life do not have God to look forward to in the next. They live for this life. They live to this life. And they put all their eggs in this basket. And the thoughts of what comes next, they'll either ignore it or they'll be scared to death with it and run from it. They hope for nothingness. Those people outside of Christ has to hope for nothing. Because in Christ, we know what happens if we don't live for Him. And they don't want this in life. You know, Peter tells us something in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, I want to tell you where my security is. Let me tell you where my hope is. 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you rejoice. We rejoice in the security that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. Peter said, this is my hope. He says, this is my security. I can look to God who is going to give me everything that I need. And even when things go wrong here, and even if my life fails, I have God to give me my security. And my friends, we can take these words and we can let it bring joy to our lives, because God will give us this security. And as long as we can live for God, He is going to give us a secure life. And we can anticipate what happens after death and not fear it, but not ignore it like so many people in life does. You know, if you don't get anything else out of this lesson tonight, I want you to understand this. It's okay to be a devoted Christian. It's more than okay to be a devoted Christian. It is essential to be a devoted Christian. It just makes good sense because of what He is offering to you, because of the joy that He can bring you in this life and the utopia that He brings to you in the next. This is why. that we need to devote ourselves to Him. And I believe with all of my heart that if we will live for God in this life, He will give us joy in this life. And He will give us the greatest joy of all in the life yet to come. So I'm asking you tonight, my friends, is your life a joyous life? Can you pillow your head at night with happiness because of what your day has brought forth? That you have lived for your Lord? That you have given to Him the things that you need, and knowing that He is with you and giving you these joyous things? If not, you need to change your life. Tonight, if you are not in Christ, you need to give your life to Him today through obedience to the gospel. And Christian friend, if your life is not joyous, it could be that you have failed in giving your life to Him. Perhaps you're no longer living for Him. But you need to change tonight. Give your life back to Him. Remember the joy that you had as a child of God. And remember how joyous your life can be again if your life is in harmony with God. So tonight, think about the joy that you have in your relationship with God. And if it is not what it needs to be, make it right tonight. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come. While we stand and sing, I gave my life for thee.